It's Rider Club Radio, motherfuckers.
Good evening.
I'm Jeff.
And I'm Liam.
Do you feel it?
Do you feel the beat?
Do you feel the excitement, the electricity? It's Rider Club Radio. We've done like 70 million of these motherfuckers.
This is episode 92, maybe? I don't know.
They're all exactly the same.
Welcome to episode 96 of Rider Club Radio.
This week... What are we gonna do?
We're gonna talk about Kamen Rider XA number 6.
And Animal Sentai Juojur episode 37.
Yes, so shall I lead us off with XA?
Yeah, tell us about what happened on Ekusade this week.
This week on Kamen Rider Ekusade, Emu is talking to the CEO, Dan something or other, and he wants to find the real host of the robot Buckster, since the one who they thought was the host was Graphite. They're like, well, this guy has to have a real host, we gotta find the person. So they run around randomly until they find her, and she's a girl who's going to, she's going through some shit with her boyfriend, because her boyfriend is a master violinist, and she's sick, but she doesn't want him to know that she's sick with the Buckster virus, so she doesn't tell him. So she's like, we can't date, because then you might find out about the Buckster virus, just to focus on your violin. But that stresses her out, so it makes the Beat Buckster come out. And Hiro shows up, and they fight the Beat Buckster.
But Hiro... of rapping monsters this week.
Yeah, it's a theme.
A lot of rapping monsters.
Hiro can't beat the Beat Buckster, because he doesn't know how to play rhythm games. He doesn't play video games, because he's not a loser. And he falls over and gets beat, and the beat monster runs away.
He gets beat.
Taiga shows up, because that's just what he does. And we find out that Taiga, I was right, Graphite was his patient's Buckster, but also his patient was Hiro's girlfriend, who they had just had a falling out just before she died from the Buckster eating her soul. So that was like, that's their big connection, and that's why Hiro hates... Taiga, because Hiro thinks in his heart that he could have done better. He probably could have beat Graphite. And he kind of proves it in this episode. So Hiro, turns out he was kind of shitty BF. He had a little falling out with his girlfriend because all he cared about was medicine. And she was like, Hiro, I made some cake for you. Look at this, I made some sweet buns. And Hiro's like, is that heart surgery? And she's like, no. And he's like, oh, get the fuck out of my face then, lady.
Yeah, all I care about is heart surgery. And she's like, well, you're a giant fucking asshole, so I'm leaving.
And he's like, wow, what's her problem? Jesus.
Yeah, what did I even do?
She just freaked out for no reason. So Emu finds out about the whole deal with this new girl, with the new patient that has the Beat Buckster inside of her. She tells Emu, oh, I didn't tell my boyfriend because I don't want him to worry. I want him to focus on his studies. And so... Emu goes to Brave and says, that's probably why your girlfriend didn't tell you she was sick. You know, maybe you had a falling out, but she still cared about you. And Brave is like, damn, Emu, get the fuck out of my way. And he beats the Beat Monster, and he takes the... Oh, what's the fucking name of the game? I didn't write it down. I'm an idiot.
Do-Re-Mi-Fa-So. It's Do-Re-Mi-Fa.
Do-Re-Mi-Fa-Gashat.
Do-Re-Mi-Fa-Dance, maybe?
Do-Re-Mi-Fa-Gashat, and he puts it into his belt, and he beats the shit out of Graphite. He beats the holy hell out of Graphite, but Graphite runs away. And that's the end of the episode. So, Jeff, what did you think about Kamen Rider X8 Episode 6?
You know, they keep sort of boosting up Graphite like he's some sort of like big badass or whatever, but he's lost every fight he's been in so far.
Yeah... I hope he stays
He is
around.
The Lieutenant Commander Worf of the show. He's lost every fight he's ever been in.
I hope he stays around longer, because we find out this week that he's the dude who fucking killed... He's in shit with Brave and Snipe. So I really wouldn't like
when
it
when
he
dies, a lot of characters are going to lose their motivation.
Yeah, imagine he gets killed and Brave's just like, I quit. And Snipe's like, yeah, I'm done too. And then there's just two riders.
Got what I want.
It's just
me and you, Bike Man. We're the only ones left.
Maybe he'll get stronger. Maybe he'll eat some Bucksters or something. Maybe that's why they're kicking ass and Genom comes in and stops them. So this fight's got to stop. Maybe Graphite's going to get stronger in the future.
Maybe.
That's my guess.
He's gotten his shit wrecked twice now, so...
Other than that, I really liked this episode.
I like this episode as well, except maybe for the fact that the exact same scenario happens that happened with Emu, and the Geki-Tautsu robots, where he jumps over Graphite and kills him.
Yeah, hopefully that's just these two.
Yeah, I really hope that doesn't, like, happen every single time. It was really cool and interesting the first time. A little less special now that it's happened again. Otherwise, I thought this was a really great episode that gave some much-needed characterization to Hiro.
Yeah, you were just saying Hiro was starting to become boring. This episode is all about him. This episode's all about his motivation. The reason why he's such a hard man is because he suffered a terrible loss 5 years ago during the Zero Day, during the global freeze.
It's not easy being a hard man.
Apparently not.
So you feel bad for him because he fucked it up. He fucked it up with his girlfriend, which we've all been there.
It's not just
that if you didn't fuck it up with your girlfriend, you fucked it up with a girl.
If you haven't fucked it up with a girlfriend, you haven't had a girlfriend.
That's true.
It's not just that she died, that's bad enough, but it's that they have this little fight beforehand, which I really like. Just adds that little twinge of like, oh, that's extra sad.
This is a little bit of Night, Shades of Night, with his fucking girlfriend being his motivation.
Except she's dead with no possibility of revival, but I get you there.
He can't have sex with Poppy Peepo Popo over top of her dead body.
Unfortunately.
In the hospital.
They go to the graveyard together and fuck.
Just Shades of Night. He's Night-themed and his motivation is his girlfriend.
How about that? What a great, amazing writer.
Yeah, he's much better than the other one like that.
No, shut your fuck.
I can agree.
Did we talk about this, that the actors who play Emu and Hiro both have Ryuki as their favorite show, as their favorite writer?
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yep. And Emu's favorite writer is Knight.
Emu's?
Yeah.
Why?
Because he's got great taste.
Knight is the worst.
Probably a superior human who has good taste.
Oh my god. Knight doesn't even look like he is human. He's got like lizard in him. He's got like spikes on his head. Those aren't even hairs.
He's got one of the worst hairstyles. Him or Gills. Oh boy. I love that we're fleshing out these characters and we're connecting them. Like you said before, it would be super cool if it actually turned out that Graphite was Snipes' patient's bugster, and
it was. Snipes' patient is Brave's girlfriend. It all comes tying back together.
We've got the basics down, just like we were sort of predicting earlier. We have the basics down, first few episodes, and now we're adding layers. We're delving a little deeper into the characters and fleshing them out already.
It'll turn out that Kamen Rider Genmu fucked Emu's mom. And he's gonna be very sad about it.
Kamen Rider Genmu looks like 2 years older than Emu, so I don't know. There's always... I look at writers sometimes and I'm like, damn, he's like the older adult writer, and I check the actor's age and it's like, oh, he's my age. Oh, shit.
You check the ages and you're like, oh man, this is like the cool adult writer, and you check the age and he's the same exact age as the little kid writer. Every time.
He's just a little taller. That's a shame.
It's like the bad guys in the show are like the weird face committee. Did you see them all sitting around in his office?
Yeah.
They have such weird faces.
They're
speaking of somebody who looks like he's a lizard with human skin just stretched over top of it, the guy who's Genmu, Dan.
Dan? I think the weirdest face is Palad.
Palad has a weird ass face.
Palad looks like if Chase was dropped on his head as a baby, he would grow up to be Palad.
You know what Palad looks like?
What?
This is my second Star Trek reference now. Oh, he looks like Chief O'Brien, but Japanese and slightly and young.
I guess I can see that a little.
He does the same little tiny smile.
Yeah.
In the middle of his giant face.
Mouth. Yeah.
Weird. He's just weird looking. He's not threatening at all.
He's got a sniveling villain face.
Yeah.
One thing I can say I didn't like in this episode is all the episodes so far have a penchant for doing this thing where something will be happening and an action scene will start with one or two riders and then another rider will just be like, oh, I'm here too. He'll just run in. Be like, hey guys, yeah. I'm here too. Snipe does it this episode. Brave does it last episode. It just happens, and I don't really like it. Like, they're usually... With this episode, you needed it, because it was for that bit with Brave.
there's a lot of transformation jingles in this episode already. It doesn't bother me that much that they show up a little bit later like that.
It's just, it just sometimes it feels like there's no need for them to be there. Like in the...
Oh, there's absolutely no need for Snipe to be there during that scene. Like, he could have just been standing around untransformed watching.
Yeah. Especially what got me was in the episode where Emu bets Snipe his Gishat. And they're about to go at it, and Brave is just behind them. And he's like, yo, I'm here too, I'm gonna do it too. And he gets his ass kicked and runs off. And it's like, I really would have liked it if it was just Emu and Snipe. You don't need Brave there. Maybe his contract said...
He has to sell the toys!
He has to do X amount of episodes or something.
Yeah, children don't remember that Brave exists if he doesn't show up in the episode.
Yeah.
Nobody remembers who the fuck Laser is right now.
Yeah, Laser has been forgotten. He's not gonna show up ever again.
No. He died in that hospital bed.
He's going to die on that operating table. It's not a huge thing. It's a nitpick, but it's a little weird. It's toy stuff.
He has Japan's injury. Like, we talk about Japan's disease. He has Japan's injury, which means that you have one bandage on your cheek and one around your, like, your forehead. That's mm-hmm. it.
Even that's if you get your shit beat, no matter how hard, you get your leg broken, you come out and you got a bandage on your face, one around your head.
Well, it's like the opposite of Hollywood's injury, which is when you get the little cut across the bridge of your nose.
Yeah.
At least they put more effort into it than that.
That's true. I'll give them that.
It was a good episode. A lot of good characterization, especially for Brave. Maybe not so much for Snipe.
Well, Snipe, we learn a little bit about him. That's going to be fleshed out. There is a great failure in his backstory, and I think we're going to learn a little more about how he feels about that in the future.
Oh, yeah. Nowadays, he's going to get, like, an episode after Laser does, I'm sure.
Yeah. You don't see Snipe being real. You don't see, like, we haven't peeled back Snipe's layers, because usually he's in the presence of other riders, and he's like, I hate all these people, I gotta be a dick. Yeah, I fucked up your girlfriend, sorry. But he's not like, yeah, I'm glad she died. He's just like, I fucked her up, what are you going to do about it, and I'm sorry.
He doesn't say I'm sorry.
Well, he doesn't say he's sorry.
He is like, not the type of person to ever say I'm sorry.
He's not sadistic about it. He's not happy she died.
He's like, yeah, she's dead. What about it?
I did it. What are you gonna do?
What are you gonna do, bitch?
But I think this is me being optimistic, but X8's proved to be good so far. Yeah. I think we're gonna get an episode in the near future where we see Snipe as more vulnerable, and we're gonna see how it, like, he's actually haunted by this failure of his, and that's why he has to beat Graphite so badly.
Oh yeah, I don't doubt that at all.
Yeah,
and there's something that you've talked about previously on Rider Club Radio, is that you like characters to get upgrades that have, like, a meaning for the story.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like it's at least been somewhat consistent with having a story behind the upgrade as it goes.
Yeah,
it's, like, meaningful for the character to gain the upgrade. It's not just like, check out the new toy.
It's in this episode we have Brave has a reason to want to beat Graphite.
Although his like ability to suddenly do the fucking beat thing.
Well, CPR.
Do re mi fa beat.
He knows CPR.
That doesn't make any sense.
He does the beat of CPR.
That doesn't make any sense.
Look, he's a normal human being and can discern rhythm.
Well, I guess he isn't white, so I guess that's true.
He wakes up the next day and he's like, shit, wait, I've listened to music before. Is that what that was? Is that what all those Springsteen CDs were?
So you know he likes Springsteen.
He for sure secretly loves Springsteen.
I just thought that was a little out of place. Besides, it's like nitpicks. I'm nitpicking.
The scene where they're fighting the Beat Monster for the first time, and there's all the musical notes coming at him, and Emu's dancing perfectly, and they're just splashing off of Brave, being like, miss, 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 and he's standing there like, what? What?
It cracked me up so bad.
They use level 1 to great humorous effect.
Level 1 makes no sense to me. Like, why would you use it? They know it's incapable of defeating the normal Bugsters, only, like, the human meatball things, mm-hmm. but they continue to use it after the Bugster shows up every time.
Because fuck off. That's why.
Well, good enough reason for any of
it. They use it because you touch yourself at night. That's why.
Well, I guess they'll be using it a lot. It was a good episode. It's not the best so far, I wouldn't say, but it was very enjoyable.
I liked it a whole bunch, and I like
too.
Any episode that fleshes out my future wife, Kagami Hiro. So, yeah, it was good.
Still loving the special effects, I will say that.
This is
probably my favorite show for special effects so far. Mm-hmm. Out of all Rider. All Tokusatsu, maybe.
It's got a style to it that justifies the low budget. It's perfect.
Yeah, it doesn't look low budget, is the thing, because the style completely masks it.
It's on purpose. It just happens to be cheap.
You couldn't do any better for, like, video gamey, like, text effects and shit.
Yeah.
Even if you were in, like, a AAA blockbuster-ass fucking Hollywood movie, you couldn't do any better.
Yeah.
It's the same type of effects from, like, Scott Pilgrim versus the World.
Yeah, yeah, that's a good comparison, actually. I didn't remember that.
And the fact that it's the same effects and they're probably paying, like, 1/8 of what they were paying for, like, ghost special effects is amazing. And they look a billion times better.
Yeah. Yeah, if you try and make them look too realistic, you end up with Ryuki. And that's something you do not want to end up with.
2003 CG animation.
Someone comes out and they're like, yeah, this series will have big monsters, giant snakes and bats and shit. And the special effects department is, they're already uncorking the fucking bourbon. They're like, oh, Jesus.
They're like, how much money do we have? They're like, well, you had $17, but I got thirsty on the way here, so now you got $16.
Oh, God. So is that...
Good special effects, yeah.
Is that all we have on X-Aid?
The characters are getting fleshed out a little bit as it goes along.
Mm-hmm.
It does run the risk of the characters seeming slightly two-dimensional so far.
Yeah. Like I said, I think we're going to get more for everyone.
Yeah, you start out with a two-dimensional base in a television show like this, and you build three-dimensional character on top of it.
Yeah.
If you shove a character in front of the camera who already has all this character built up, in, like, an adult show, you can unravel that character as you go along.
Mm-hmm.
But for a children's show, if you want any of the kids to buy the toys, you have to have the character show up and already seem like he's finalized. And you can build on top of it.
Yeah. And they're doing that. They do it by keeping secrets. They have vague pasts that they're gonna flesh out later.
And Emu is learning as he goes along. He's learning what it means to be a true doctor.
And you were right. It's Kyria next is getting his upgrade.
Yep,
I can't believe it. It looks ugly.
He finally gets a humanoid form, and it looks like shit.
It looks horrible. It's a samurai game, and it looks terrible.
It does. I love... Kyria has a smile that no one could get close to, except maybe Kusaka.
He has a very dickhead smile.
He really does. I love it. I want that to be my icon on every social media.
It's a smile that only a mother could love.
The smile that launched 1,000 boats, right?
The other way.
I think that's all
Simpsons.
We have to talk about.
Okay, yeah.
When it comes to X-Aid.
Is it time for news?
Yeah, let's hear about some news.
Okay, so, remember Kamen Rider Drive Surprise Future?
Yes.
Remember Tomari Eiji, the evil son?
Yes.
Spoilers, he's evil. The actor that plays him is going to be in Pacific Rim 2.
Really?
Yep.
Out of everybody they could have got.
Yeah, they snagged a Kamen Rider dude.
They could have got Chris Pepler.
They could have got Chris Pep. Maybe they did. Who knows? Maybe he's an expert.
Who knows? I guess you're the one who retweeted that photo of Chris Pepler with Scarlett Johansson.
Yeah, yeah, I retweeted that.
Dude gets around.
Yeah, he's all over the place.
But we're talking about AG.
Pacific Rim 2 been in pre-production hell for 76 years. But they're finally moving forward. What?
It's been like three.
It's a long time for a movie to be in pre-production hell. It was like, oh, it's canceled, but it's happening.
Guillermo del Toro's movies are always in pre-production hell.
That's true.
You could talk about At the Mouth of Madness, which has been in pre-production hell for 15 years.
Yeah, almost as long as Pacific Rim 2.
Oh my god.
But they're finally moving forward, and Tomari Eiji is going to be in it. So look forward to that.
They should have got fucking Tamari Shinosuke to be in it.
I don't know. They got a writer, okay? I'm happy for that, at least.
Sort of.
They got a movie writer.
They got a guy who remote controls a writer.
He gets to wear the suit sometimes.
Whatever.
Oh, well.
I guess it's cool. It would be cooler if it was, like, Tendo.
Oh, yeah, way cooler. But he doesn't want to do that kind of project anymore, I don't think.
No, he wants to do girls.
He's off of girls now. Girls is over.
Is it?
It got canceled. Tendo killed it.
Well, they were like, what is this fucking Kamen Rider Kitty shit?
All the viewers instantly were like, I know that guy. He's from a Japanese TV show from 2006. I don't want to see this anymore.
What is... I know he's from a kid's show. Turn it off.
He's got the look.
That's what happened when one of the Wiggles tried to go fucking legit. Same thing.
Wait, are you joking or did one of them actually try and go legit?
I'm just joking.
Okay.
They're all probably dead.
Yeah, probably. So the,
I guess this is a good enough fucking stepping stone. I found out that like 3 out of the 5 Whispers are dead. Like the Whispers,
the
R&B group.
I don't know them. I haven't heard of them.
Really? You never have?
Never heard of the Whispers.
Oh my god! Like 3 out of 5 of them are dead, and I got depressed last night because of it.
Well, I'd probably be very sad if I knew who they were.
I used to link them all the time everywhere.
Well, I don't know.
I'm trying to think of the song I linked the most. This is going to be riveting to listen to for everybody, I'm sure.
Riveting podcast. This
time I'm sure you'll cut this shit out.
Well, I'll trim it. I don't know. We'll see.
We'll see.
Play by
it day. Doesn't matter.
None of us matters.
Continue with your news segments.
Okay, sir. This is my favorite one this week. You might know a fellow named Takeyuki Tsubaki. He played Kamen Rider Blade. He played Kenzaki. This week...
Guy's dick sucked.
Yeah, he got his penis sucked. This week... He was in an altercation with a motorcycle guy on the street. He got in an argument. I don't know. He cut him off or something. They got in a fight. And he fought the fucking guy. Like, physically, he fought him. And they beat each other up. And he got hit in the face of the golf club. And now he's in the hospital. He's okay.
Oh, my God.
But he got in a fight with, ironically enough, a motorcyclist on the street.
Is this a real story?
This is a real story. He tweeted. He was in the hospital. And he was like, hey, all the Kamen Rider Blade fans, I'm okay. My face is a bit fucked up from the golf club, but it's okay. I got in a fight with a guy.
I'm pretty sure he wasn't referencing Kamen Rider Blade in the year 2016.
He said! He did! He said, I'm so glad for all the fans, and I'm X8 is a doctor, and I'm sure he would take great care of me. I'm fucking dead serious. This happened.
Welcome to the fake news segment.
No, it's real!
Starring Liam.
It's in the blog post. You can look at the fucking tweets, the Instagrams. They're there.
I'll fucking look it up. I will after we're done.
You fucking better. It happened.
I bet.
Fucking Blade is still fighting. He's still fighting the undeads. Even today.
Alright then.
I bet
next,
one of the
next
new
news story.
What?
Next news story.
No, I bet one of the new actors who's still like the guy playing Emu probably has to keep himself pretty fit. I bet he could have taken that motorcycle dude down pretty good.
Emu?
Yeah. I bet Gakusano.
Gakusano could have like jumped up on the wall and did like 3 wall jumps to get to a normal man's height and punch the guy in the face.
But once he got up there, oh boy, you better watch out.
But fucking the guy who plays Emu, like, a stiff breeze would send him flying off into the heavens.
Say, I haven't seen him shirtless. I haven't seen the guy shirtless, but I bet he's pretty... I bet he's got, like, a swimmer's body. I bet he's pretty, like, muscular but slender. That's how a lot of riders seem to go.
Liam is, like, writing his fan fiction right now. He's muscular but slender.
I bet he's got abs that I'd like to lick. That's how
he's got abs you can grate cheese. Fucking Blade was always a stick figure, though.
That's true.
So he couldn't have beat him even when he was on the show.
Look, I'm sure he did his best.
I'm sure he did. I'm sure there was a lot of flailing.
I'm sure there was a lot of yelling, and... Yeah. But still, he's okay.
A lot of slurring of words.
Yeah. That was what it was over. He was like, hey...
It took a second, didn't it?
Can you move out of the way, please? And the guy's like, what did you just fucking say to me?
Just go out of the way, please. I just need to go. What?
What did you say about my mother?
Are you fucking joking me right now, mate? They say that in Japan, right?
Yeah, that's the common fucking speech.
That's the lingo.
Still, I love that. That's my favorite news story this week. I love when riders do weird things. Remember that time when Hiroshi Fujioka just burst
dressed
into
up like the knight?
Dressed up like a knight and started complaining about the birth rate in Japan?
Yeah, I love it when tokusatsu actors do silly shit that's completely out of character. Do you remember the time that Vol Panther touched children? Not so funny anymore, is it, Liam?
No, it's still funny. Oh,
do you remember
boy.
That time that Super One scammed a bunch of lonely women out of their entire fucking fortunes?
Can you imagine being scammed by your childhood hero? Imagine if Superman came up to you and he's like, dude, I need like $50. I'll get it back to you, I swear.
Fucking, look, if you go to LA right now and hit the correct street, Dean Cain will come out of some alleyway and beg you for change.
Who is Dean Cain?
He played Superman on The Real Adventures of Lois and Clark.
Oh, no. I know that show. I don't know the actor's name, but
look,
I know
everybody
Lois and
else
Clark.
Who's ever played Superman is dead. Or that's dead true. To me. So.
Henry Cavill, yeah.
Henry Cavill needs to be in a Superman movie that doesn't suck dick. Maybe he'd do a good job.
Get him a good director and a good script. He could probably do it pretty well, but yeah. He's
I wouldn't say the
stuck.
Same about Brandon Routh.
Brandon.
Although he's apparently alright as the Atom.
Superman Returns was not great.
No.
No.
Do you remember in Superman Returns where Superman never threw a single punch the entire movie?
Remember when Superman Returns when nothing happened for 90%?
Do you remember
of
when
film?
Superman Returns where Superman fucks Lois Lane and then leaves when she gets pregnant?
Yeah.
And then he's just a deadbeat dad for like 10 years or whatever.
Deadbeat dad out in space.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mommy, where's my real dad? Oh, he fucked off to space, Timmy.
He's in the other side. He's in the Horsehead Nebula. That's just a lie she tells him. He's dead.
He's dead.
He's dead.
He drank himself to death.
Oh, Superman.
How much booze would it take for Superman to drink himself to death?
Like regular Earth booze? Like he's got a bottle of Jack or
no,
something?
No, it's like when the planet Krypton exploded and all of its pieces got irradiated, like a bottle of gin survived and got irradiated.
Well, here's the thing. Oh, well, if it's irradiated gin.
Yeah,
so I was gonna say
it'll kill him just like kryptonite.
People on Krypton are normal unless they're under a yellow sun, so maybe it would just be normal gin.
Yeah, maybe it's normal gin on his planet, and then it comes here, and it becomes
it gets,
super gin.
When it gets under the yellow sun. Somebody call Grant Morrison. We need something clarified.
Somebody dig up Jerry Siegel and ask him.
So, in conclusion, Kamen Rider Blade was in a fight. He's okay.
Wow. Our conversation went so far away from that. I didn't even remember that happened.
Check out the blog post, though. He talks about X8. He's like, I bet X8 would take super good care of me.
He's like, man, I sure wish I was still relevant.
Oh, poor guy.
Yeah. Is there any more news, or is that it?
Yeah, there's more news. Super One's been fully subbed. 2 weeks ago, you didn't see it because I cut it out. We did a news story about a new subgroup starting up.
Why
and
did you
after,
cut that out?
Well, I'll tell you, after the podcast, I was like, I'll link to their blog. And I went to their blog, and they're like, yeah, someone else just jumped out and uploaded the entire series. So I was like, oh.
Oh,
okay.
Shit.
So, that's the new news story. I just cut my whole news story out. You never saw it, but it was there. This is the new news story. Some other dudes just jumped out and made pretty adequate subs. Apparently they're good. I haven't seen them myself.
I haven't seen them either. Wouldn't that be, like, the shittiest thing to do to somebody?
That's like a total sub ninja. That's the term, sub ninjaing when you do that. But
it's just like you're talking to your friend and they're like, yeah, man, I was really thinking about writing this cool novel. Oh, yeah, what's it about? Oh, it's about, like, gremlins in space. I've got like 2 chapters of it done, and then next week, Gremlins in Space by the asshole who you just told that to
is the New York Times bestseller. So yeah, that's the news for this week. A fucking legendary sub snipe. Super One is out.
That's
so go look
up,
at it,
man. I'm gonna have to watch that. I watched a bunch of terrible fucking bootleg subs in a stream.
Oh, that's bad.
Somebody streamed a huge chunk of the series with terrible bootleg subs.
Super One deserves better than that.
That's how I saw a lot of Showa series, actually.
Yeah, I watched the last few bits of Stronger when Kit Subs was doing it, and they had the last, like, when I was finishing it. They're done now. Go watch Stronger. It's finished now.
Fuck yeah.
When I was watching it, there were like 2 or 3 episodes unsubbed. I had to use HK. Oh my god.
Yeah, the difference is noticeable.
It's noticeable is a bit of an understatement, but yeah.
Yeah, it's like somebody who doesn't speak English was subbing it.
Yeah, it's almost as if the language is, yeah, woof.
It's crazy, isn't it?
Yipes.
It was subbed, it was like somebody translated it from Japanese to Chinese and then to English without actually knowing English.
Yeah, it's insane. It's like Duang.
It's like TV Nihon. Anyway.
Well, okay, we weren't going to name any names.
I don't give a shit.
We're here because we don't give a fuck. We run a stupid podcast.
No, nobody listens to this shit anyway. Who cares? How about we talk about Animal Sentai Juojur episode 37?
Sure. What do you want to... This was the episode where we learned that fucking... What's his name?
Bard.
Not Bard. The other guy. Misao. Larian. Cannot jump. And since he can't jump, he decides to do the only thing that he can do, which is not jump.
That was a really badass scene. Like, he just grabs what I guess are now electrified jump ropes. They were explosion jump ropes, but now they're electrified jump ropes.
I don't know, they switched them out between scenes.
And he, like, flings them around like they ain't shit. This is a beautiful moment.
This is a weird theme. Rapping duos. There's a rapping duo this week, but it turns out there's like 17 of them.
Yeah.
And they have an electrified jump rope, and the Juojurs have to deal with it.
Well, there's not 17 of them. Don't tell me you're just as dumb as the Juojurs are.
There were clearly 36 of them.
The whole time I was like, you guys are not this stupid. You usually figure stuff out way before this.
Every time we beat them, more of them appear. I guess we just gotta keep beating them until
I guess
they're all
there's
gone.
Just this many of them.
Yeah, it's obvious.
It's definitely not that one of them is duplicating over and over again or anything.
No, just keep fighting. Don't ask questions you don't want to know the answer to.
We get to see Larry again in this episode.
I was going to say it's one of my favorites, but it's as good as the rest of them. It's very good.
Yeah, it's very, very good.
I love the bit where there's the cube stuck in the wall, and they pull it out. They're like, fuck it, we need this cube now. And they pull it out to fight with the giant monster, and it turns into a cube, and they're like, go! And it just doesn't do anything. And they're like, well, I guess we'll just hit him with it. We'll hit him over the hammer. Who cares?
And then they just throw it at him. They're like, oh, it won't do anything. Just throw it at him.
It's still a big, huge metal cube. Just chuck it.
And it turns into an octopus.
It turns into an octopus. That's kind of weird.
It turns into Octopus Juo King.
That was kind of weird, because we're so far past Juo King now, but here's an octopus.
Juo King got a new upgrade.
We're already on the final mech. Wild Dodeka Tosai.
Yeah, but the whole thing, the whole like gimmick of the mechs in this is that they are interchangeable. Like, certain ones can make this one, certain ones can make that one, you can add into this one to make that one, you can add onto this one to make that one. You put them all together and you get Wildo Tosai Juo Dodeka Kingu.
But the octopus isn't in Dodeka King.
He will be.
Where are they going to put him? It's full.
The back.
I guess he could go on the back. Is it going to change names? Is it going to be Octopus Wild Dodeka Tosai King?
You bet your ass.
Super King?
It's going to be Wildo Tosai Dodeka Octopus Juo Kingu.
All right, copyright that shit right now. Do it now before Toei can get to it.
Slip in under Toei and get that. Make a quarter every time they say it.
I love
Larry.
I love Bard. And yeah, Bard and Larry in this episode.
Yeah,
and
there's a bit of a fucking like mystery going on with Bard and Larry.
Yes, we're getting back to the actual plot that was started 63 episodes ago, where Bard talks about how Jewland is a rotten place, why would you want to go back to such a shithole?
Yeah. And we learned in this episode that the person who says, I will protect you, in that badass voice, is Bard.
Yeah, because that's...
The Eagleman.
He clearly cares something for Yamato, he saved him as a child.
Yeah, he wants to protect him real bad. And he transforms into Juo Bird.
Juo Bird. The unique and interesting form.
Juo Bird. Bud.
Bado.
Bado.
He's got a golden changer.
Yeah.
For some reason.
But he turns into regular ass Juo Eagle, but with blue instead of black and gold instead of the trim.
It's more like an orange instead of red.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's like a fucking palette swap. He's like the second palette swap. He's like Ken, and then Ken with orange instead of red.
He's like Time Fire. Remember that guy?
Yeah.
The Time Ranger? Yeah, he's like Time Fire.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know if Time Fire is a cool character. I didn't watch fucking Time Ranger, but suit-wise, he's like Time Fire.
Yeah, they could have done a lot more. He could have looked way better.
But honestly, I don't give a shit, because Bard is the most interesting character in the show right now, and I'm so happy that he's back.
Yeah, Bard is a really interesting character, and here's why it doesn't bother me that he's a palette swap at all.
Why is that?
Because fucking Yamato's using his power. Of course he's gonna look exactly like him.
Yeah, to be fair, if Larry was able to transform, he'd probably look like Juo Gorilla.
Yeah, exactly.
Might be a different color, because he's a different person, but that's that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's I'm just glad he's back. I've been... Like, that's the clever thing with Juojur, is they give... Here's this cool little hook. We're gonna just... And then we're gonna leave that, and we got good episodic episodes to keep your time going.
Yeah, we're gonna bring you back to this cool story later, so get ready for that.
Yeah, now we're in the late 30s. We're approaching the final stretch of the show, unfortunately.
Yeah.
And we're gonna start resolving this really interesting... This is, I think, gonna be, like, the lead-up, I hope, to the end of the show.
Absolutely.
The big explosive finish.
Bard did not get, like, the exciting, action-packed, heroic introduction I thought he was going to get to begin with.
Ah, well.
Like, he gets his shit slapped by Rap Man.
He's just a dude.
By Method Man and Red Man. He gets his shit slapped by, I guess, Red Man.
Right, yeah.
And, but then he transforms and he's cool as shit.
Yeah, he's great.
I was looking forward to Bard. Out of all the Jumans, out of all their outfits, Bard's is absolutely the coolest.
Oh, like his out-of-non-transformed outfit?
Yeah, non-transformed outfit.
The goggles and the feathers and his whole aesthetic is really cool.
Yeah, he looks cool as shit. Second coolest is Leo.
I like Sayla's outfit a lot, actually.
Yeah, Sayla's got a really cool outfit, too.
Her like, shoes and her pants are really cool. They look sharkish.
Like, Sayla and Leo, I think...
Yeah.
Are probably neck and neck, pretty close to being cool with stealth.
They really invoke the animal they're supposed to invoke.
Oh, yeah.
The other one's not so much, but Sailor and
Leo
got it.
Especially poor Tusk. But it's so... it's, like, impossible to seem like an elephant when you're a tiny, skinny little man.
How do you make an elephant outfit that's not just an elephant?
It's not just a fat man suit.
Yeah. What do you do?
Why isn't he fat? You can't have a fat guy in a show?
You can't have... after Robert Baldwin... No fat guys.
He's the only one.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
Oh, well. What do you know?
Great episode. I'm glad with the Tusk we got.
Misao is really great in this episode. When they're swinging these electrical jump sticks around, these jump ropes, and they make you jump rope inside of them, and they're all jumping to not get fucked up. And Misao's like, damn, I never had friends to play jump rope with before. This is awesome. And he gets so caught up that he messes up.
My favorite Misao moment in the entire episode is when they see Larry again, and Misao has never met Larry.
Oh, yeah.
And it's not even acknowledged, but he is wearing a fucking suit because he's meeting this super important guy that he wants to impress.
And he brings him
a basket of bananas.
I guess it's because he knows Larry is suspicious around humans, and he's... responsible for three Jumans' deaths, so he's like, I'm gonna give him a bunch of bananas.
He wants to make a real good impression.
It's perfectly in character for him, and it's very funny.
And I just love that nobody, like, brings any attention to the fact that he's wearing the suit.
Yeah, just
it's better that it's just a visual gag.
Yeah. It's great.
I like that a lot about Juojur. It's something about, like, Japanese humor doesn't really allow for visual jokes that aren't commented on very often.
Yeah, everyone has to yell about it, yeah.
Yeah, Juojur's very good about just having visual jokes.
It's funny. They cross borders with their comedy.
Absolutely.
So it's a great
Misao
show.
Misao was delightful in this episode.
He's delightful in every episode.
He really is. He's one of my favorite characters at this point.
Yeah.
Although I like everybody. There's nobody in Juojur that I don't like.
There's no annoying one in Juojur, honestly.
I guess I don't really care that much about Naria.
Naria? Oh, the villain. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't really care that much about Genis or
For some
Genis
reason,
either,
said,
honestly.
When you said Naria, I thought Narita, like Shibuya and Narita. And I was racking my...
In this show?
I was like, when the fuck did that guy show?
I guess they could have been. They just stand in the background anyway.
Yeah, they'd just be the same as they were in Ghost, just hanging out.
The interesting villain at this point is fucking Kubar.
Yeah.
He's the interesting villain. The others are just sort of there at this point.
I wonder if they're even going to get anything else. I think Kubar is just going to be the mover and shaker villain towards the end of the show. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think Kubar is going to make his big move. And we're going to see what... Either Genis is going to be like this unbelievably powerful dude and we didn't see up until this point. And he's going to like crush Kubar's ambitions, or Kubar is going to kill him and take over and decide he wants to obliterate Earth.
I would like that a lot more.
I would too, actually.
Kubar just runs him through at a critical moment with his sword and is like, alright, it's me now.
He acts a little like General Shadow.
Yeah. Love General Shadow. Fuck
yeah,
that.
Absolutely.
He's so cool.
Here's hoping that Kubar is the final villain. That would be really awesome.
Fingers crossed.
I like that he doesn't show his new hand to anybody. He keeps it to his side at all times, and he only motions with his old hand.
Yeah.
He's being very careful.
He's not dumb. He's the smart one. That's his thing.
He is the smart one. He is not fucking Azald.
If Azald got the hand, he'd be like, look, everybody, look!
Look at that
shit!
Look
at my hand! Now
look at
really
that
gonna...
shit! I'm gonna hit people even harder!
Now I'm really gonna fuck with that red guy. So yeah, great episode.
It's a really great episode. Like, did we know Bard's name was Bard before now?
I think so. I think it was mentioned once or twice. I don't know.
I think we may have like read a scan or something about that.
Maybe. I don't know.
Because I do remember making the joke that, man, they didn't really try very hard on the Bird Juman's name, did they?
Bard. Well, that's what we get. It's pronounced, when you say it in Japanese, it's pronounced almost the same.
Yeah, Bardo.
Yeah. So, yeah, whatever.
Oh, well.
Oh, whale.
Old you a whale.
Oh, You're fired.
Finally.
Do we have any mail? Give me the mail and then you're fired.
Yeah, alright. I might as well. Right. First off, we have a message, a direct message, through the internet.
Whoa.
From Paris Valsenis on Twitter.
Okay.
Who says, hello, fellow geshits. I have another question. Loving the podcast, by the way. If you could kill any Kabuto and Ghost Rider, who would it be?
Like one from each?
One from each.
Oh, that's tough.
I would kill everyone in Ghost. I would kill Ghost and have it become the Spectre show. Kamen Rider Spectre.
Yeah, I'd either kill Yagaruma or Kageyama from Kabuto.
Really?
One of them.
You wouldn't want the Hopper Brothers.
Yeah, you're right. I want to keep the Hopper Brothers. But who else would you kill?
See, I was thinking the same exact thing when I read this question. I was like, well, I guess it would have to be one of the Hopper Brothers, but then you wouldn't get the Hopper Brothers.
Yeah, but I don't want to lose Drake. I don't want to lose Sasord. I don't want to lose Gatak or Kabuto. Or like, who do you do?
I guess I would get rid of Dark Kabuto.
Oh, yeah. What? That's the obvious one. Yeah, yeah. It didn't even cross my mind. Absolutely kill Dark Kabuto.
Yeah, Dark Kabuto doesn't really add anything to the series. There's a cool fight scene.
He's cool. Yeah, cool fight scene. Interesting concept behind him, but he's Dark Kabuto, so...
Get rid of him.
In Ghost, God, anyone.
Ghost.
Take a pick.
I would kill Ghost.
Kill Ghost? Yeah, I'd probably kill Ghost. At least, like, a show about Spectre trying to save his sister would be interesting. But,
yeah, and then you could explore all of his, like, deep-seated issues with his sister.
Like, half of the show would be him sitting in a psychiatrist's chair, recounting the
events
of the show.
She's just so cute!
Hey, those are valid feelings, those are valid feelings, you just can't act on them.
It's fucking, is he, like, Dr. Katz therapist?
He's Dr. Katz MD.
Oh, tell me how you feel about that. So, hopefully that answers your question. Thanks for DMing in.
No problem. I mean, fuck.
What?
It's my natural politeness gene kicking in. When I hear someone say thanks, I say no problem.
Our next question is from Jake, who says, hey guys, really liked the Ryuki spoiler cast last week. Ooh. Ryuki was the first Rider series that I watched, and it brought back some good memories.
Damn straight.
First off, I want to say the reason I thought Palad was going to be Genom, aside from the stuff Jeff already brought up, was his role, design, and color scheme seemed to make him the perfect villain counterpart to Emu, both of the gamers with Mighty Action X. On that note, I'm digging how Dan has been updated in the opening after the Genom reveal, and the way he selects his level 1 is similar to how Emu does, but he uses his left arm instead of his right.
Yeah, I noticed in the intro... there's a little bit where it shows the faces of all the Riders and they hold up their geshats. In the first few episodes, it shows Dan, but he doesn't hold up any geshat. It's just him standing there.
Yeah.
Now he holds his up.
It was a secret reveal.
Could you tell?
I couldn't. really hyped and happy that you guys called it both right about Graphite being the Bugster that Taiga failed to beat 5 years ago, and Bard Eagleman Kaiza becoming a Jew-Oger and getting his ass-kicking episode. I find it funny. Before, I couldn't help thinking about X-Age Shades of Ryuki as a series. Hey, I wonder if that patient who died was Hiro's girlfriend, since that'd make him have one more thing in common with Ren, aside from being abrasive, night-themed blue secondary riders. And look what we got.
Here we are now.
Is Brave Liam's favorite character now?
Yeah, 100%.
It looks like Kiria's bad luck with forms may finally turn around next week. Questions. 1. Any chance the next spoiler cast could be about Kabuto? Well, you can travel back in time, good sir, because we've already done a Kabuto spoiler cast.
Yeah.
If you go onto our YouTube channel right now, the Kabuto spoiler cast is under spoiler cast, right at the bottom.
Check it out. It's a good one. All our spoiler casts are great. Everything we've ever done.
Everything we've ever done in our lives is real good.
So, yeah, just go onto the YouTube. Or in the blog post if you can. They're buried pretty far back in the blog post.
Yeah, you'd have to navigate pretty heavy for that.
You can find the tag. Go to the Ryuki spoiler cast. Down there is a tag that says spoiler cast. Click on that tag. It'll take you to all the spoiler casts. You can just go to the fucking YouTube if you want to do it easy.
We've done a Kuga spoiler cast, a Kabuto spoiler cast, a Drive spoiler cast, and now a Ryuki spoiler cast.
So check all those out. If you've seen those shows, check them all out. Are we going to do Ghost? I kind of want to do Ghost.
I don't.
You know what? Okay, I think by the time we have another break to do a spoiler cast, it'll be long enough that the wounds have healed and we can rip them open again.
We'll see.
I think we should do Ghost next. That's
we'll
my
fucking
vote.
See. Maybe we'll you see. Can I'm... get some guests on to do it while I sit here and take a nap.
Yeah, I'm not making any promises here. This isn't an official announcement. I want to do Ghost. That's my opinion.
Question 2. How would you two, as the Streets of Rage 2 / Beat'em-Up and the Morrowind / Western RPG gamer writers select your level 1 portraits?
Oh.
That's a fun question.
God, you guys think about details when you're thinking about writers. Oh, jeez. Do you have anything? Are you going to do a spinning lariat or something towards your...
I do think that I would have... I would do, like, the standard combo, like the punch-punch uppercut into it.
Oh, that's good.
Would do, like, the jump kick, which is the ultimate beat-em-up move.
The double... Oh, what's the word for that? When you jump and kick with both your legs and land... Drop kick, yeah.
Do like the drop kick into it. That's the ultimate side-scrolling beat-em-up move.
You gotta have a drop kick if you're not a beat-em-up.
That's true.
Jeez, as a Morrowind, ooh.
As a Morrowind, I guess you would just swipe at it 30 or 40 times, and once in a blue moon you'd hit it, right?
Every time it spins around, you take a swing, and you're like, shit, I missed. Oh, fuck, I missed. Oh, come on. And then on time 30, it's like, there, you got it. Oh, yes. I think, oh, man. You could swipe at it like a sword, but you don't have a sword until you transform, so you just look like an idiot.
Yeah.
What do you... Okay, I'm trying to think. I'm getting real... What do you... There's a lot of menu management in Morrowind.
You know, that would be good if you, like, clicked on it, and then, like, some menus dropped down, and you, like, clicked on a few of things in it, like you were making your character.
Go through a sub-menu?
With a mouse? Like, you hit it, and it split into, like, 6 menus that were floating in front of you, and then you touched
Magic
each of them in different
map.
Places.
Yeah!
To make your character.
That'd be crazy. Yeah, that'd be cool. I like that. You go through the menus. You pick your spells and shit.
Man, why am I so much more creative than you, Liam?
I don't know. Maybe because you took a creative education and I didn't.
Yeah, he was a history man.
I was a history man.
I was a waste your life and never make any money man.
Hey, you just said history.
Question 3. What are the chances now of Kiria fulfilling a Tezuka-like role later down the line? I don't think we can answer this question.
Yeah. let's answer it in as unspoilery as possible. Let's say high or low. What do you think?
It's probably too early to call, but with what we see in the preview, maybe he wasn't completely lying about losing a friend during Zero Day.
I'm gonna say low chance.
I'm gonna say high chance.
High chance?
I feel like if anybody's gonna get redeemed early, or like mid-season or something, it's probably gonna be him.
Maybe. I could see it. Instead of the mid-season upgrade, he gets the mid-season redemption.
Yeah.
Yeah.
the mid-season being a bike.
That's how you make up for all of his shitty garbage forms.
Yeah. Thanks again.
He's got a samurai form next week that looks awful.
It looks pretty fucking terrible.
It looks like a nightmare to move around in.
Yeah. How sad is that? Like, the dude's like, I only have level 1 and a bike, and my humanoid form I can barely move in.
He got a bad shake, this guy.
No kidding.
Oh, well.
Thanks again, and looking forward to the next episode as always. Jake.
Thanks.
P.S. Those what-if bits / jokes you guys did the last 2 weeks about Bungle's family and Kyria dying and being stuck in bike form cracked me up a lot. As Bungle and his hypothetical or really existing family would say, cracking good.
Thank you.
I hope you keep doing more of them. We've done that forever, haven't we?
Well, I mean,
like long tirades about, like, what if this dumb shit happened?
that's half the podcast at this point.
So thanks for writing in, Jake.
Thank you.
Our last question is from Zolgheim.
Okay.
Who says, so, RCR, with what would your favorite games be like as Gashat / Xaid forms, questions already out of the way for a while now. What about your least favorite games?
Oh.
Franchises you personally can't stand. Games that you played for a while then decided to never touch anything like it ever again. Functionally broken and insufficiently so bad it's good unfinished messes. Stuff like that.
The Japanese term for it is kusoge.
Shitty game. Ah.
Do you have one in mind?
Go right ahead.
Indigo Prophecy.
You love that
European
game.
Fuck you! If you're European, it's called Fahrenheit. Indigo Prophecy is the worst game I've ever played in my life. If you've played it, you know. It's a movie game. It's one of those movie games. It has tons of work put into it, but somehow came out so bad and so dumb.
I've never played this game.
Okay. You play a guy trying to escape. He's part of some supernatural murders, and you play as him, but you also play as the police investigating him. And there's a first scene where it's awesome.
It seems like a conflict of interest, Liam.
Well, it's the first, like, hour of the game is, like, you commit a crime and, like, you gotta clean it up. And depending on how well you clean it up, then you play as the cops later and the investigation will be easier or harder. And that's really cool. But that's it. That's the only cool thing in the end. That never happens again. After that, it's all shit about ancient Mayan mystical cults and AIs that become lightning monsters in the real world and hobo secret societies and other dimensions and
what is this game? Assassin's Creed?
It's 10 it's 10 million times worse than Assassin's Creed. You have to play it.
Assassin's Creed can be fun to play.
Assassin's
Creed has gameplay.
Yeah.
So.
Assassin's Creed 1 is pretty normal up until the very end.
Yeah.
This game goes off the rails.
Assassin's Creed 2 is actually pretty normal up until the very end.
Yeah, Assassin's Creed is good at keeping its shit together, and then, like, there's one weird part. But, like, Indigo Prophecy
goes
off...
nuts.
Yeah, Indigo Prophecy goes off the rails, like, maybe a third of the way through. It's unbelievable, and it's the worst game I've ever played. If it was a Gashat, you'd turn into it, and you'd have to play Simon Says, because that's the quick time event. You'd have to play Simon Says, and that would be how you attack. Kind of like the Beat one, except you play Simon Says instead.
That sounds like shit.
Yeah, it's a pretty awful game. That's how I imagine it. How about you, Jeff?
Oh, God. I don't know, man. That's a tough one.
You gotta have a game that you play, and you're like, God damn.
I don't know. I've had a lot of games that I've played and said, well, God damn.
Well, God damn.
I tell you what. I'll do a recent one.
All right.
When I purchased a PlayStation 4 machine, I don't recommend it, by the way. When I purchased a PlayStation 4 machine, I got a free copy of Batman, whatever the fuck the newest one was. Knight, I think. Newest Batman game. Like,
oh,
Batman Arkham Knight.
Arkham Knight, yeah, I played that one.
So the Batman Arkham Knight Gashat would turn you into a car. And that's it. You're a fucking car.
You can't get out of it. You can't change.
No. If you ever want to not be a car, too bad. You're a fucking car. Dude, that game is fucking shit. I hate it. There are people who are like, that game is so good. I love it. Like, and they're talking about the Batman parts of the game. Which, if you want a Batman game, play Arkham Asylum or Arkham City.
Yeah.
Those are really great games. They're not, like, very deep games, but they're fun.
Yeah, I liked Asylum a lot, and I liked City a decent amount.
I did like Asylum better.
Yeah.
They're talking about those parts. No one likes floaty-ass tank controls on a car.
The funniest thing is, when those two first games were coming out, Asylum and City, everyone was like, wouldn't it be so cool if there was a Batman game that took place, you get to go all over Metropolis, or what?
Gotham
Detroit, whatever
City, you dipshit.
Gotham, that was it, it slipped my mind. And you could get the Batmobile, and then they got that, and it was fucking terrible.
You know what the funniest part about that was? Is that me being the fucking, like, soothsayer, the Nostradamus of our time, when people would say, it wouldn't it be awesome if you had the Batmobile, I'd be like, well, what the fuck can you do? You just drive on the road. What's the difference between that and, like, Grand Theft Auto or something? You're just driving on the road. And people were like, oh man, no, you could fucking do grappling stuff on the sides of buildings and... They were right, technically.
Yeah, you can do that. You can
it's just not fun at all. That would probably be the recent example of that. There's always your, like, Mr. Jekyll, Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde's.
Those infamous Kusoge.
Superman 64. That would create rings that you had to go through precisely, or you start it over.
If the Bugster isn't at the end of the rings, you're like, well, shit, bye, I guess. See ya. Gotta go over here. I rented Superman 64 like 3 times as a kid because I was convinced there was a good game waiting
just past
the rings.
The exact same thing happened to me.
I was like, oh, I didn't beat the rings this week, but next week I'll beat the rings. And finally, I did beat the rings. And then there was this underground water base, and I was like, this game
is that the one with the tornadoes?
Yeah, the tornadoes. Yeah.
I got past that, dude. Like, I got to a part where you're supposed to take a car and, like, land with it and do something with it.
Oh, wait, is it the part where you have to take the car and land with it and then throw it at another car or something?
No, you have to land with it, and I never figured out what the fuck you're supposed to do afterwards, because if you throw it at another car, you lose. If you try and sit it down, you lose. If you take off again, you lose. I'm sure there's a real thing you need to do, and maybe I did one of those 3 things wrong. But I rented it once more after that, even. Like, I'd already rented it 4 times to get to that point.
You just keep coming back for more.
Like, I was only allowed to rent a game once a week on Saturday. Mm-hmm.
Same here.
And
that's the kid rule, one game a week.
One game a week on Saturday. It cost like $2, but for some reason that was it. And I rented it again after that and popped my fucking, like, save my fucking memory card into my controller because it was a Nintendo 64 and they didn't figure that shit out yet.
Yeah.
And I tried the same thing for 2 days, on and off, while I went and did other things.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't lose my fucking child mind. And I still don't know what the fuck you were supposed to do at that moment. So I guess that would be what your life would be if you were the writer based on that game.
Sounds like a curse. You'd put it on and you just, like, you gotta run through rings until you just die of starvation. That's the gachet that Sid would sell you.
He would trap you in that forever and somehow figure out a way to profit off of it.
You go into Droopers and he's like, I got a gachet for you.
Wouldn't it be great if there was just a Kamen Rider series that was like fucking like Tales from the Crypt, but the framing device was Sid selling some device to a kid that would fuck him up forever.
Really clever, actually. Someone comes in and is like, I want to be a Kamen Rider. And he's like, oh, you can be. Here's this Lockseed. But it just like, kills you.
I'm having trouble with bullies, and I love video games. Well, here's this gachet for you. And, like, the gachet traps him in a world of bullies or some shit.
Something clever. Something smarter than we can come up with on the spot on this podcast.
But fuck, that would be amazing.
Yeah.
It's too bad you got fucking blank, blank, blanked because it's a spoiler.
Yeah. It's too bad about Sid.
It's too bad that he moved to America and started a country music singing career.
Yeah, that was a bit of a weird way to get him out of the script, but I guess.
It's also pretty sad because America got nuked to death, so.
I keep forgetting America just doesn't exist anymore at the end of the game.
I'm sure, like, the nuclear fallout of, like, a million nuclear missiles that hit America is probably not doing Canada any favors.
It's probably, if it was enough nukes to wipe out America, that's probably spread all over the entire world.
at the end of the show, wouldn't it have been fucking amazing if they're all, like, standing around, like, no, Michi, come and dance with us or whatever, and just this giant cloud of radioactive soot just moves across the sky in the background.
They're like, oh, we gotta go inside, because the fucking, the apocalypse is here.
The sirens start, and they're like, oh, I guess we can't dance today, the fallout clouds have come back. Maybe the sun will come out again tomorrow or next month.
And then Helheim doesn't start to seem too bad, eh?
That's what they get for firing fucking nukes.
Yeah, that's a shame. So is that all for...
Was that an anti-nuke message? Yes.
Are we banning the bomb now?
You can't hug your children with nuclear arms.
Damn, that's clever. You didn't come up with that, did you?
I didn't. The 1970s came up with that.
Yeah, I wasn't alive then, so I wouldn't know.
And neither was I. Fuck you.
Look, I didn't study 20th century history, okay?
Yeah, everyone he knows everything about Renaissance dance moves.
Everyone comes up to me like, hey, you studied history? What do you think about Nixon? I'm like, I don't know shit about Nixon. I didn't study 20th century American history, you dungus.
It's weird that Nixon is like a touchy subject. Like, a debatable subject with people where they're like, actually, he did all this good stuff or whatever. Well, actually, he was a fucking criminal.
Yeah.
Actually, he defrauded the American people.
That's the bottom line. He was a crook.
Yeah. He lied about it, too.
Yeah. Oh, well.
We're getting political on this show. If you're voting Nixon, you're voting wrong, baby.
Impeach Nixon. Free Tibet.
We're pretty timely on this show.
Yeah, I know.
That is all for the emails this time.
Okay, let's get the hell out of here before anyone gets angry.
They're already mad, I'm sure.
Well, if you want to send us an angry email, you can do so. Send us to an email at riderclubradio@gmail.com.
Or if you want a much faster way to tell us you hate our guts, you can follow us on Twitter at riderclubradio, where we post funny shit and probably a lot of not funny shit, I imagine.
Maybe I'll slip up and post some porn on there someday.
Yeah,
so
you guys.
Keep your eyes peeled.
Yeah, fucking be on the line for that. There's gonna be nipples.
All that Ultraman porn I always look at, that's gonna end up on there someday.
How is there Ultraman porn? Because the suits are their bodies.
For sure there is. I'm on the quest still to find it.
I'm pretty sure the quest would end if you went to Google and typed in Ultraman porn.
I had never thought of that. My God.
Google has porn on it.
I had a plane ticket to Marrakesh next week to go and talk to a bartender there, but
he was gonna go fucking talk to the ancient one.
She wouldn't know. Tilda Swinton would know.
Yeah, go talk to Tilda Swinton. Be like, yeah. I've traveled far and wide to fucking the Abu Dhabi or wherever.
I spent my last dollar looking for this Ultraman porn.
I need you to show me the Ultraman porn. Give me the Wi-Fi password at your fucking temple in the middle of nowhere.
Teach me.
That movie wasn't that bad. Anyway.
I'm sorry.
Thanks for tuning in, everybody. We'll see you next week.
Good night.
See ya.